Speaking on this program is Paul Meacham, Jr.
Is it possible that John the Baptist got to a point where he even began to doubt whether or not Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ? I believe the Bible does in fact say that. It may be difficult for us to believe at first thought. This is the same John who in John chapter 1 and verse 29 boldly declared, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But we're going to look at another time in John's life. A time when John was depressed, and a time when John was probably scared, where he even began to doubt whether or not Jesus was in fact the Christ. In very difficult circumstances and depressed and probably very scared, John was imprisoned. We know eventually John, while imprisoned, loses his head, literally. He is beheaded because he taught what was true. And when we look at God's Word, we find a certain question that we bring to our mind. And it's the question that we're going to use as the title for this series of lessons. Are you offended by Jesus Christ? Are you offended by or in Jesus Christ? Well, that may seem like a very unusual question. In fact, I would dare say that most of you have not heard that question asked in the past, and certainly no one has asked it of you. But when John the Baptist was in prison, and his faith, it seemed, began to waver, he heard about the miracles that Jesus was doing, and he sent word by way of his disciples, the disciples of John, that is, those who followed and helped him, to ask Jesus whether or not he was, in fact, the Savior. Or is there another that they should wait for? And Jesus gave him this reply in Matthew chapter 11. He told him that blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. Matthew 11 and verse 6. Now there's a very key word here. Jesus had told him in the two previous verses to look at the works that were done, to understand the things that were done. And then he tells him that blessed is he whosoever is not offended in me. The key word for us there is whosoever. You see, that means that not only could John be blessed, but that I can be blessed. I'm part of whosoever. But it also means that just as John had to guard against being offended at Christ or offended in Christ, I have to guard against the same thing. Long ago, Isaiah prophesied regarding this matter when he wrote, "And he shall be for a sanctuary," this is speaking of Jesus, "but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel and for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. Notice the last of Isaiah's words there. "Many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Isaiah was looking at what was going to happen to God's people. He was even looking forward to a time when Jesus would come and be rejected by many of the Jews. Now, Paul speaks about the same event. And he speaks about it in the past tense, the fulfillment of those things prophesied by Isaiah. In Romans chapter 9, verses 31 through 33, we read, "But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness." Wherefore? Why? Why did it fall short? "Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone." Who's the stumbling stone? "As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Oh, Israel fell because of unbelief, because they stumbled over the stone, Jesus. Jesus was given to all as the rock on which we should build. However, many were offended. because of this unbelief. And instead of building their lives on Jesus, they stumbled over Jesus. God knew that such would be the case. Notice again the words of Isaiah, that messianic prophet of old. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Notice, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. God not only gave us a foundation, but a tried foundation, a precious foundation, a sure foundation. We then must build our lives on that foundation. I know that that is God's intention, because Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture. Notice again, going back to the same prophecies. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed. Pause there for a moment. Think about that. The builders disallowed the stone that God designed to be the chief cornerstone. Notice the rest of the wording. The same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 through 8. You see, God wants us as lively stones, living stones, to build our lives upon the foundation that He provided for us. That foundation is the rock, the foundation laid in Zion, precious and sure and tried, the chief cornerstone. But many times, we are offended. We stumble at that stone. And rather than accepting Him in belief, rather we turn to those things that we devise. And we do not build our lives on the foundation God has provided. Let's look at some of those in the times of the Bible who were offended by Christ. The first one may surprise you a little bit, but the religious leaders of Jesus' day were offended in Him. The religious leaders were offended. Now, Jesus was addressing the Jewish religious leaders of His day in Matthew chapter 15 when He said, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Now we notice down in verse 12 then, that then came His disciples and said unto Him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Now, many times people would tell us today not to teach anything that offends someone. But Jesus did. In fact, the teaching of truth to these people, pointing out their errors, offended them. Notice how Jesus answered. Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 12. Jesus didn't set out to offend the rulers of His day, but neither did He water down His teaching to accommodate them. That's easy enough to understand. If you read John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Had He watered down the teaching just because it offended them, no longer would He have taught the truth. Therefore, what they learned while making them happy would not have set them free. We need to be sure that we don't fall into the trap of trying to be man-pleasers. We need to be very careful that we don't water down what we teach in order to please people. Rather, we need to teach what the Bible says. We need to teach God's Word. And if we do that, then we know those who are obedient to it are actually going to be obedient to the truth, that that's able to set them free. Now, this attitude of teaching on the part of Jesus did offend the religious leaders of His day. But not only were the religious leaders of His day offended, but Jesus even offended those that we'll refer to as His neighbors, the people that lived around Him, even the people that He grew up with, were offended by His teaching. If you'll turn in your Bible over to Mark chapter 6, here we're going to read a particular account where Jesus is returning to His home. And I know He must have been excited, especially to have the opportunity to reveal to those who had seen Him grow up that He was the salvation of God come down to man. But He was not received the way that we might think. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, we read these words, "And He went out thence and came into His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand?" Now, if we stop right there, we would think this is a great reception. They were astonished at His teaching. We can certainly understand why. He was an astounding teacher. They were amazed at the miracles that were done by His hands. We can understand that. But that's not where the text ends, is it? It goes on to say this, "Is not this the carpenter?" Oh, they couldn't see past that, could they? "The brother, or rather the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judas and Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house." Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It's been said that these people believed in the far-off Savior. They were convinced that the King of the Jews couldn't possibly come from such simple and humble beginnings. However, the doctrine of Christ has always been one of simplicity. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. They wanted to see something marvelous and mystical. They didn't want something that was from the carpenter. Even His neighbors, those who had seen Him grow up, were offended. We know that Jesus left this area, and He went and He taught in other parts of the world. We know that Jesus went and taught other places never to return to this area and teach them again, although He had hoped to do many marvelous works among those people, His own country. Sometimes we stumble also at the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the gospel message that He has given to us, that He commands us to obey, that He commands us to embrace. Rather, we look for something that is mystical and more difficult. In conclusion, let us notice these words. "Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," what will happen to that person? "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels." Mark chapter 8 and verse 38. The question comes to us then, are we going to, like His neighbors and like the religious leaders of His day, be offended at His teaching? Are we going to do those things that show that we're ashamed of the Christ? Or rather, are we willing with courage and with belief and with love in our hearts to reach out and embrace the Christ? If you're not a child of God, I pray that you will be. You can show that you're not ashamed of the Christ by genuinely and truly believing with all your heart that He is the Christ, the Anointed, the Son of God. And then believing that strongly enough that you're willing to repent of your sins, that they might be washed away, that you'll change and turn from them. Finally then, you can show all the world what you believe by with the mouth confessing Christ, confessing that you do believe that He is the Son of God. And then by submitting to a burial in water, by submitting to baptism, have your sins washed away. Obedient to Christ, accepting and embracing all that Jesus teaches. That's how we show Jesus today, that we're not offended by Him. If you haven't done this, we pray you will. And if, like John the Baptist, if there was a time when you knew that you had done what was right, that you had obeyed what the Bible teaches you to do, but life has become difficult, life has become trying, and maybe you've allowed that to pull you away from God. If that's the case, then, like John, open the Bible and inquire, are you really the Christ? Or should we look for another? The message of the Bible comes back loud and clear. Jesus of Nazareth is our Savior. He came to die for us. And He did so. We should not be offended at Him. And if we are not offended, we will be blessed.